First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
To the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com. You can go for the latest podcast of this show or any stories and investigations we're into. While you're there at LouisvillePolitics.com, please make sure you join our email newsletter, and we'll send an email direct to your inbox with all the latest updates on a weekly or a monthly basis. We don't like the daily spam, so we know you don't either. Additionally, please join the RSS feed as well, and we'll make sure you get copies of this show sent direct to your inbox. If you are so inclined and like what we do here, we would appreciate any help you could give us. There's a handy-dandy donate button at both sites, LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, for a PayPal contribution. We rely on you to keep everything going. And for those of you who hate doing stuff online, you can also mail a check or money order to MVM Media at P.O. Box 58146 here in Louisville, Kentucky, 40258. For those of you who are new to the show, call-in numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For those of you in the listening queue, please hit the number one on your dial pad and we'll get you on air as soon as possible. And for everyone else, the live chat is now open. If you choose to join into the live chat, you can sign in with your Facebook and your Twitter accounts. So much for business. Let's get rolling. A lot going on today. We're going to get into the CIA reports and everything else here in just a couple of minutes. We've got a couple of local things to push out real quick. Today, Mayor Greg Fisher's son was cited for drug possession after being found passed out in his vehicle late this morning. Police officer found Mayor Fisher's 24-year-old son slumped over the steering wheel of a vehicle on Bardstown Road, apparently sometime right before noon, according to the court records. He admitted taking prescription drugs and smoking marijuana. They found marijuana on him as well as three unidentified pills that Junior Fisher said were Klonopin and part of a Xanax. Of course, Mayor Fisher puts out the standard statement about how his son made a bad decision and received a citation from the police. So we're going to see where this goes. The interesting thing here is Fisher goes out and says that his son received a citation from the police. According to court records, the arrest and everything else went through the court records. Do citations go through court records that fast, folks? Or was there an arrest with Greg Fisher's son? And they're just doing everything they can to try to reclassify it. I had somebody get a hold of me earlier because I advertised part of this show, about Fisher's son being arrested. And we would talk about it and said, oh, no. He was only cited. Well, I don't know of anybody who got a ticket. That's what a citation is. That goes to court records, in a matter of a couple of hours. This story came out, earlier this afternoon, and the whole issue took place right before noon today. So it's interesting, how they determined this. I am assuming that he was arrested. That may be a hell of an assumption, but I've got news for you. There's nobody that I know of that, would not be arrested in the same situation that you're passed out in a car, high, and you have pills that aren't prescribed to you. I would be arrested on that. I'm a well-known figure, not a well-liked figure by the politicians, but I'm a well-known figure in Louisville. I would be arrested on that, and so would just about anybody I know. So I would assume that there's an arrest. We're going to get more for this going forward. It is interesting, though, that Greg Fisher's son is cited here when we know damn good and well. I've had too many reports from officers about former Mayor Jerry Abramson's son, Sidney, doing drugs, speeding, stealing cars, all kinds of things. Those are allegations. We'll call them allegations. I personally believe the allegations to be true, considering where the sources were. Why is Jerry Abramson always protected, or why was his son always protected, and Greg Fisher's son, at least we get a little bit in the media. It may or may not be accurate. We'll find out the details going forward. But, this is the way it is. And, the fact that, Wave 3 actually ran this story as a source I'm using. Everybody is putting it out there. The Courier-Journal doesn't have it up yet. Of course, they'll wait till the last possible second until they have a choice because they're the biggest apologists for the Democrat liberals in Louisville. But it is interesting. At least we have a report on it. Wave 3 had the guts to put it out. Thank you at Wave 3. And I know Ken Silvagi over there. I was with the Wave 3 editorial board for some time. Ken Silvagi does a hell of a job. He doesn't sugarcoat much. So thanks to Wave 3 for putting it out there. But I do have questions. I want these officers, I want somebody to go forward and put their names on all of the damn things that go on with all these politicians' kids and everything else. Sidney Abramson, all of them. It's time we started getting real accountability. So that was something I thought should be brought out today on a local level that we needed to talk about. Typically, Thursday nights are used for national issues, and we're going to start with one real quick because I tell you, the budget fight is going on. Before we get into the whole CIA mess, the budget fight is going on right now, and there are a lot of people angry. As a matter of fact, the liberal Democrats upon the Hill are angry as hell. You've got all of them screaming and hollering, "We got sold out by Barack Obama." Congressional liberals are actually looking at a possible revolt against the president and vice president that nobody in the Democratic Party really wants. I'm reading a story from Politico today, and I'll put that in the chat room for you. Let me do that for you real quick because I think it's very, very interesting. The Democrats have been screaming and hollering for years that the Republicans won't work about them. According to White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest, he told PMSNBC that the Democrats in the House were given all kinds of opportunities to negotiate this budget deal, and he feels like they got a pretty good deal. But the White House is supporting the proposal, and the Democrat liberals are going crazy, including liar and apologist Nancy Pelosi, the House Minority Leader. She goes on to say that she's disappointed the White House feels the only way they could get a bill is to go along with this. And it's fascinating because, Josh Earnest goes on to say that this is the kind of compromise the president has been seeking from Republicans for years now.
The Republicans are finally starting to compromise at a time when they seem to have maximum leverage. So what does that tell you, folks, about who has been the problem in Congress for the last few years? Seriously. The Republicans have no reason to cave at this point. January, they take over control of the House and the Senate. They'll have the control of the Congress. There's no reason for them to cave. There's no reason for them to work together. There's no reason for them to compromise. None at all. They can run the gamut and force the president to veto and do whatever he wants to do and allow the president to take responsibility for government shutdown, allow the liberal Democrats to take responsibility for government shutdown. And they're not doing it. They're actually working together. Why? Because they do have the power, and Harry Reid cannot obstruct them come January. That has been the problem all along. We need not look any further to see what the hell the problem has been in Congress. We have been telling you this for quite some time. Harry Reid and the congressional Democrats have been nothing more than little two-year-old whiny-ass titty babies, for lack of a better word. And I know that sounds offensive to some people, but it's the truth. They've been acting like two-year-old children who didn't get their way for years. Now they're screaming and hollering because they're scared to death. They're scared to death. The Republicans just took a government shutdown off the table, and there's not one damn thing the liberal Democrats can do about it. Not one. They're not going to be able to campaign on that. You know, they campaigned on that this year about how the Republicans did this government shutdown, and what happened? 30 out of 60 Democrat senators are bye-bye. See ya. They couldn't make the shutdown, or they couldn't make Obamacare stick. And half of the Democrats that voted for Obamacare are now on their merry way into peaceful private citizenship bliss until they rear their ugly head in the next election. That's it. So I think this is great. I think this is great. You got Senator Elizabeth Warren, of course, playing the same bullshit. A vote for this bill is a vote for future taxpayer bailouts of Wall Street. Well, guess what, Senator Warren? Your Democratic brethren voted for the bailouts as much as any Republican did. So don't sit here and try to act like this is a Republican situation. The bailouts occurred under President Obama's watch. He was involved in that. The auto bailout, the bank bailout, every bit of that. So let's not sit here and try to act like you're some kind of a holy roller that is doing something. That's the problem with these people like Senator Elizabeth Warren. They still haven't learned the lesson that the communist, so-called progressive liberal act is not working anymore. And she's going to be one of the ones that's going to be announced for the presidential Democratic presidential primary in 2016, her and Hillary. They're going to try to stack the deck. Both of them are communist progressives. We don't need either. And the fact that she can't do any better than that is to scream about, you know, taking care of the rich white guy and the rich bankers and the rich Wall Street, you know, just tells you. She has no idea what the hell is going on in this country. She's lived a liberal dream, progressive, communist life. I love it. I just flat out love it. So let's hope that this daggone thing sticks, because if this budget does stick, then the Democrats are in serious trouble come January. We'll see how it goes. I thought that was very, very interesting. Another thing interesting in the budget before we move on is Senate Democrats got what they wanted once again. All right. The budget has been talked about. The budget has been agreed on. The president is pretty favorable to it. He has some concern, but there's always concern when you do a budget. You know, the shutdown is basically off the table. But part of this budget, Congress has agreed on a bill that was going to cut, $303 million from the Pell Grant program. And that $303 million is going to go to the student loan contractors. Think about that one. And this whole bill and this measure was sponsored and championed by Senate Democrats. They were all over it. They wanted this. The Senate Democrats, who care about education, right, who care about the little guy, who care about the liberal policies and all this other stuff. These Senate Democrats champion a proposal that's going to take $303 million out of the Pell Grant program and give it to student loan contractors. In other words, they're going to give it to the damn lenders. Now, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, folks, but you can't sit here as a Democrat and talk about the rich bankers and everything else when you're going to go ahead and give them money as a Democrat and you championed this cause. Take ownership of it. You're giving the rich bankers, the loan providers, and all of these people $303 million, and Elizabeth Warren is going to sit up there and whine about how this budget is going to make Wall Street so happy. Elizabeth Warren, look at your brethren. Look at your colleagues, your Democrat, liberal, progressive, communist colleagues. They are the ones that have done this. This is not a Republican thing. It is totally hilarious to me about the hypocrisy, and nobody is calling anything on it. I just think it's funny as hell. This is really interesting. I don't know how to go on with this. I really don't, because I tell you, it's just disturbing that these liberal Democrats think that we, the American people, are that stupid after they just got their asses handed to them just last month. Just last month we had an election, and these Democrats were daggone scattered around and ran like cockroaches. They got their butts beat. Even Alice in Wonderland Grimes right here in Kentucky. She was supposed to be within a point or two all the way through the election with Mitch McConnell. She was the next great thing, and she got her ass handed to her by more than 10 points. She was embarrassed, and now they're talking about her maybe getting into a primary for governor in Kentucky. How stupid do some of these people think that we, the people, are? It is beyond me. And here's another stupid thing, and we'll lead into the CIA stuff in just a second, and here's why. Does anybody remember Sergeant Bo Bergdahl from a few months ago? Sergeant Bo Bergdahl was a deserter, was a military deserter in Afghanistan. And Barack Obama released five terrorists in exchange for this military deserter. To me, that is one of the most ultimate sins you can do. You just cost American lives, Mr. President, when you made that decision. Because as soon as those five were released, they were immediately freed at their home. They were immediately freed. This is a very concerning thing, and I tell you why. Because Barack Obama has done it again. He just released Latif Masud, whichever way you want to pronounce it. Latif is second in command of the Pakistani Taliban. Second in command. A senior commander in the Pakistani Taliban, we'll call it the TTP, and he was a trusted confidant of the group's leader, Hakimullah Massoud. Here's the problem. He releases the second in command. We know that this guy is going to get right back into terrorism. He's going to be treated as a hero. They're going to rally around him, and we're going to lose lives. We're going to lose lives. And he did this. He did this. They were responsible for the attempted bombing in Times Square in 2010. And this guy has vowed to attack the U.S. homeland again, him and his group. We lost American lives bringing down the Taliban, folks. And Obama releases number two in command of the Taliban in Pakistan. How in the hell can you justify that? To me, this is treason. I'm serious about this. Think of me what you will. But this is treason. And the fact that our military has to fight on his behalf is a disgrace. I'm a veteran, folks. I don't make that claim lightly. But it's the truth. I mean, we just captured this guy last year. At the time, the headlines were saying that American troops have captured a senior leader of the Pakistani Taliban in what could prove to be a major blow to the group amid moves to boost peace efforts in Afghanistan. We were proud of it. We were proud of it. You think the president didn't sit there and take credit for that one, too? You betcha he did. And now, a year later, he's going to put us back in harm's way and put this buffoon back out on the street? It's disturbing. It's disturbing. And it also comes at the same time that Dianne Feinstein, in my opinion, a communist domestic terrorist, decides that she wants to release what should have been a private CIA report about the interrogation techniques that the CIA has used. When she was asked by Wolf Blitzer if she would feel guilty if American lives were lost as a result of the report, she goes on to state that she would feel very badly, of course, but there's no perfect time to release this report. The fact is, domestic terrorist Senator, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein, this report should have never been released. Feinstein goes on to say that it's possible that something happens even without this, because we've already seen beheadings, but there have been attacks without this report coming out, so that doesn't mean we should hold it. The fact that these terrorists have went to the limits of beheading civilians, journalists, Americans, the fact that they have taken it to that extreme, she is not a fool. Dianne Feinstein is not a fool. She's politically savvy. That's how she stayed in office. And for her to sit there and act like this is not going to be a rallying point for these same terrorists who are already doing this stuff and bringing more people to their cause, she thinks that we're an idiot. We've been Gruberized by Dianne Feinstein. We're too stupid to know the difference. That is another treasonous act to me. Why in the hell would an American elected congressperson, senator, communist, domestic terrorist, Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, why in the hell would she release a report like that that is going to cost American lives? This is knowingly going to cost American lives. Why? Because she says that the timing of this release is important for political reasons. You heard me right. She acknowledged that on Wolf Blitzer's CNN program. She acknowledged that the timing of the release is important for political reasons, because when the Republicans take control, or should the Republicans take control of the White House, that this report would never see the light of day. Maybe it's because Republicans have a little bit more common sense. Even John Kerry, who I chastise constantly, even John Kerry begged her not to release this report because it was going to put American lives at risk and make his job as Secretary of State even harder. Why? Why did Dianne Feinstein release this CIA report? Why? Because of political reasons, by her own acknowledgement. Folks, what in the hell is going on? We've got a president that releases terrorists at will, intentionally so. We've got a communist domestic terrorist, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein, and she's not alone in my opinion, that goes out and releases a CIA report that's going to kill Americans overseas. We don't see some sort of acknowledgement here. We don't see some sort of a pattern here. It should be very disturbing to everybody out there. Paul, you're on the air.
Hi, Ed. Hey, listen, I kind of agree with your assessment of Dianne Feinstein being a domestic terrorist. While she's not necessarily performing the act, she is certainly contributing to terrorism against Americans by basically telling the world, hey, look, you know, you go and screw us over, and we will take and beat our chest and say mea culpa and blame ourselves for you deciding to attack us. And the very fact that she has released this info has put tens of thousands of American service people at at risk, at great risk, I might add. So, you know, if you or I did what she did, Ed, the FBI would be on our doorstep within hours demanding that we accompany them down to an interrogation room, okay? Feinstein should not be granted any exceptions for that. She should be arrested for domestic terrorism.
You know what's totally fascinating? I agree with you. And what's totally fascinating is, and you know, we've been Gruberized by this dummy. I mean, we really have. We've been told that we're too stupid to know the difference. You know, and I look at this with Dianne Feinstein, who literally just put tens of thousands of American lives at risk, as you stated. All right? Literally did this. She is a terrorist by definition, in my opinion, because she knowingly put them in harm's way. But I look at this, and then I look at this little guy named Edward Snowden. Edward Snowden blew the whistle on illegal wiretaps and spying by the federal government, and he was run to Russia so that he didn't have to get arrested and spend the rest of his life in jail or worse, or get waterboarded. I mean, whatever they want to do, right? Snowden, for telling the whole world how we were acquiring this information because it was illegal against United States citizens, was chastised, run out of the country, and scared to death. And Senator, domestic terrorist Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein, can literally put these tens of thousands of American lives at risk. And this is okay, this is acceptable, and she's still in the Senate? Do you see the contrast I'm making here? Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, it's called the double standard.
You betcha.
It's called the double standard. She's part of the ruling elite, and Edward Snowden was nothing more than a contract employee, and he exposed a lot of misbehavior within government in general. But you know, Ed, as much as I might find what the CIA does to be objectionable for me personally, there's one undeniable truth in what they do. And any American who doesn't recognize this truth needs to basically leave. And that is, the CIA goes after and deals with some of the most evil human beings on the face of this planet that threaten not only our country, but our very existence and my particular lifestyle. Do I want the CIA? Do I want to know about what the CIA is doing to do that? No, I don't want to know that. I just want them to do it. Just do it and do it well. They found the CIA, in conjunction with a whole bunch of other intelligence agencies, they were able to get to Osama bin Laden, justifiably so. Kind of reminds me of that old quote out of the movie A Few Good Men, where Jack Nicholson's character is on the courthouse stand.
You know what, Paul? It's interesting you bring that up. It's interesting you bring that up, and I'll tell you why. Listen to this. I think this is where you're going.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You, Lieutenant Weinberg. I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Was that where you were going?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Somebody needs to shove that up Nancy Pelosi's nose and Dianne Feinstein's nose, because that's exactly the way I feel right now about this whole CIA thing. I have to like what they do. I don't necessarily want to know, but damn it, I want them to do it to protect this country's interest and one step beyond that, my own personal interest.
Oh, I agree with you, and that's the whole thing. I mean, that clip, I was actually saving coming back from commercial break, but you kind of brought it up. So what the hell? But you know, that's exactly it, because we don't need to know. I mean, you know, our CIA, our upper-level military, all of these guys work in conjunction, and they work with the worst of the worst. They have to deal with the worst of the worst. Does anybody in their rational mind think, anybody with 1 ounce of common sense actually believe that a daggone organization who has no problem cutting the heads off of people to advance their agenda is really going to sit there and answer questions if you say, oh, please, will you tell me where they're at? I mean, seriously, it defies any common sense or logic.
I just read an article just a few minutes ago about all of these beheadings. And again, that's the kind of thing that the CIA and the other intelligence agencies are tasked with monitoring and trying to short circuit. But there was apparently a French hostage who was interviewed that was being held by these very same people. And the question came up and said, how come these guys that end up getting killed, beheaded, if you will, how come they look so calm in these videos? And the answer is really simple, and that is these groups go through a series of mock beheadings, not beheadings, but mock executions without actually making any threatening gestures to the hostages. So kind of like the Stockholm syndrome, these people are marched out into these places and they go through, they're basically rehearsing. The executioners are rehearsing, and the prisoners don't know anything. They believe it's just yet another rehearsal, that they're simply doing that to scare their government into paying ransom, because that's what this is all about. It's all about ransom. Okay.
Oh,
and then
no
one
doubt.
Day, the rehearsal turns into the real thing. That's why they look so calm. So it's all staged. And oh, by the way, one of the American hostages that was killed back in August, the news story said that that these clowns over there are now seeking $1 million for the body. Seeking $1 million. They want to be paid.
That doesn't surprise me either.
Which they have been paid for other hostages by other countries.
Yeah, I know that the UK has paid for a few hostages. And of course, we're paying for a few hostages as well. I mean, think about it. Bo Bergdahl got out for the release of 5 daggone terrorists. You know, what is that worth in the open market? You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, we've got to look at value here. And, you know, you bring up the mock executions. Well, that's a lot of the stuff that the CIA is getting chastised for. For example, I went through the CNN website today, and I did that for a reason, because it's liberal, and they're going to sit out there and show the worst of the worst. So, you know, I went out there. But the CIA conducted at least 2 mock executions. Those were techniques that supposedly we're supposed to be sorry about. You know, and it's kind of interesting you use the term mock executions with the prisoners that were ultimately beheaded, you know. And since the people who beheaded them were masked themselves, were they really beheaded? I mean, there's a lot of people who are going down the conspiracy theory road right now, saying, hey, look, you know, we've got this video, and they look all calm and relaxed, like you just pointed out. We can't see the face of the person that's supposedly beheading them. You know, what if this was one of those mock executions and that our own government is pursuing this? You can go down that road if you want to. I believe they were real beheadings. But, you know, we're getting chastised because the CIA conducted at least 2 mock executions. You know, according to the report, you know, that this was really, really bad, because these mock executions included techniques like blowing cigarette or cigar smoke into a detainee's face, using cold water to interrogate detainees, subjecting a detainee to a hard takedown, Hard takedown, as they define it, is rushing into a detainee's cell, stripping them naked, running them up and down the hallway while slapping and punching them. As they run along the corridor, a couple of times they fall, and they grab them through the dirt and drag them through the dirt. You know what? I don't feel sorry for these people for that. I don't feel sorry for them. They don't care about beheading any American lives just because we're American. They have no animosity whatsoever for killing anyone, all in the name of Allah. They have no respect for life. How in the hell are you supposed to get information from them if you don't resort to some hard tactics? You know, sleep deprivation, that's something that's been around forever. We've been using sleep deprivation in every war since the beginning of wars. You know, they're being chastised for using sleep deprivation because they've been keeping these detainees awake for all these hours. There was one report of up to 180 hours. You know, so what? So what? They don't care if I sleep when they come in to cut my head off. They don't care about me at all. These aren't human beings, folks. These are animals. And I don't mean good animals like household pets. I mean these are animals, scumbags, thugs, call it what you will. But these people, I've got no animosity whatsoever. Using some sort of extreme tactics to get information if it's going to save thousands of lives. Because at that moment, that person who values no one but themselves, who has no value on human life and has only intent is to cause me harm and kill me, then guess what? I have no problem doing whatever is necessary to make that person tell me what I need to know to prevent hundreds or thousands of lives from being lost because of their animalistic, uncaring behavior and attitude, Paul.
Ed, you're not going to get any disagreement from me on that. None.
You know, it's just fascinating, man. It really is because, you know, we sit here and we're, you know, everybody in the world wants to think that, oh, you know, these are human beings. We can't treat human beings like that. We have all of these accords in place. We have human rights. These damn scum don't care about human rights. They don't. And that's what really kills me. And CNN, of course, goes on and lists all these daggone things, talking about, you know, keeping a detainee in isolation and total darkness, you know, feeding them bad food, you know, keeping them uncomfortable when it's cold outside. So I guess we're supposed to give all of these daggone guys warm and fuzzy blankets and a fireplace and a book to read, you know, when it's a little bit cold outside. You know, who cares? Who cares? You know, they said that the CIA threatened the families of detainees. Guess what? What the hell do they think that these daggone terrorists do to us every day? Don't think they didn't threaten our families when the World Trade Center got knocked down? What about the American people we saw jumping out of windows to their death so that they didn't die by fire? What about that? You think those families weren't affected by that? I don't care about threatening their families. Quite frankly, if you really want to get serious, America, go to YouTube and start looking at some of these videos and look at these 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids who are out there screaming death to America, death to all of these people, and bragging about how they can't wait till they're old enough to cut somebody's head off. Do I blame the child? No, the parent created that. But that child, that's all they know. Guess what? That child is an animal in training. They're not going to be any better. They're not going to be any better. Do I want that kid to get harmed in no way, shape, or form? But there's your next terrorist, because that's all these people know. You know, it's nuts. We're talking about it, you know, these Iraqi terrorists subjected to nudity, insult slaps, abdominal slaps, attention grabs, facial holds, water dousing with 44-degree water. Boo-hoo, cry me a river. That same son of a buck would throw me in a 0-degree daggone water in a second and then pull me out and shoot me in the head if I didn't tell him what I wanted or cut my head off. I don't care about this. I really, really don't. And Paul, here's another thing I don't care about. And I'm really curious to see what you say about this. The UN is now weighing in on this situation. UN human rights expert. Explain to me what a human rights expert is, and explain to me who the hell the UN thinks they are. Ben Emmerson, who's a United Nations Special Rapporteur on Human Rights and Counterterrorism, said that the senior Bush administration officials who planned and authorized these crimes must be prosecuted, along with the CIA and any other U.S. government officials who committed torture. As a matter of international law, according to Emmerson, the U.S. is legally obliged to bring those responsible to justice. This is a statement he issued in Geneva. The U.S. Attorney General is under a legal duty to bring criminal charges against those responsible. Paul, I got to tell you, it's time for the CN, for the UN to get the hell off of American soil and get out of here. The UN is nothing but a farce anyway. Go ahead.
Remember that the predecessor to the United Nations, called the League of Nations, we ended up opting out of that because they were very hostile toward our interests in that era, and they were largely ineffective, kind of like today's United Nations, okay? So your advocacy about us leaving, I think, is well-founded, and it is based on history. But the call by this United Nations representative to bring our people to justice under international law, the only thing that has any relevance to is the fact that the United States is, in fact, operating to a large...
Paul has dropped off. I'm assuming he'll call right back and set that up. Sometimes in his travel, he ends up hitting a rough spot. But I tell you, the UN is always... I mean, the American people, the United States government, has always been the police force for the United Nations. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. The UN is nothing but a shell organization, and we are the police force for the world. We didn't go into Iraq without the UN authorizing it. You remember that. We did not go into Iraq without the UN authorizing that endeavor. Paul, you're back. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I was trying to get in before we got cut off is that they're wanting us to be held to international law standards, and yet the evil that's being perpetrated around the world right now is not subject to international law standards. They're not subject to it, okay, because they're not an officially recognized entity. So in that case there, Ed, here in the United States, and actually internationally, if you take a look at the international law, there is a premise that in fact states very clearly that if you are defending yourself against an attacker, you have the right of self-defense, okay? So this clown in the United Nations has conveniently failed to recognize yet another plank in the United Nations platform when it comes to justice and following the law, that every nation has the right to defend itself from attacks by whatever forces. And since there is no country associated with ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all those other crazy folks over there, then there is no way on God's green earth that the United States should be subject to anything that the United Nations says that we're in violation of. You cannot be held criminally liable for protecting yourself when being attacked. You can't.
I'm in total agreement with you, and that's the whole thing.
It is
all politics, and that's the whole damn thing. I mean, United Nations, I mean, let's put it, as I was saying before you jumped back in, United Nations is nothing but a front anyway. So United Nations wants to hide under this mask of peace and all this other stuff. We didn't go into Iraq or Afghanistan without United Nations saying, okay. They're the ones that authorized this. If they want to sit here and act like they've got some kind of supreme authority and then want to sit here and scream about what we did, we did the mission the United Nations empowered us to do. We have always been the lead fighting force in every conflict around the world. That's why these people hate us. That's why they hate us. If it wasn't for the American government and the American military being the police that the United Nations sends them in to be the police at, we wouldn't have half the problems we've got. So I say it's time to bring our troops home, get out of these damn countries, tell the United Nations to get the hell out of the U.S., rent the building out. That'd be a boon to the real estate in New York. All right, rent the building out. Start making your daggone money on the damn thing instead of letting all these bastards live there free. Daggone, take away the diplomatic immunity for all of these people and all of the daggone laws that they break while they're over here because they've got diplomatic immunity, and tell them to get the hell off our soil. Bring the troops home. We'll defend our borders. Get these people out of here. Let you deal with the Middle East. God bless America. We're going to go on our way. And I don't see a problem with that, do you?
Nope.
But it won't happen. But it won't happen because ain't nobody got the balls to stand up and do it. This Emerson guy is a British international lawyer. I always hate lawyers anyway, by design. All right? And then you've got these international lawyers. So like that's some kind of meaningful term or title to put on somebody. Well, I'm an international lawyer, so I know what it's supposed to be like. And I can speak for the United Nations. Screw Emerson. Screw the UN. This is ridiculous. And it's time for America to start standing up. We, the people, can stop all of this. When we've got Dianne Feinstein out there putting thousands of lives at risk, and we've got Edward Snowden having to hide out in Russia for letting the whole world know that our own government was illegally wiretapping us, this is not a coincidence. This is by design. At the same time all of this is going on, Paul, we now find out the Michael Brown shooting, and believe it or not, this all comes back to Ferguson, Missouri, too. I cannot even tie this in for my listeners. They're sitting there offering, how the hell is he going from this to that? Because the day after Michael Brown was shot in Ferguson, Missouri, Eric Holder sent his federal goons in there, and the first thing he did that Eric Holder's Justice Department started was something called a community relations service. They were supposed to investigate potential civil rights violations. They weren't spending time investigating. They were spending time holding town hall meetings with residents. And the subjects they were discussing was white privilege and racism. One of the community residents there said that these attendees were broken down into groups and asked typical questions such as, what stereotypes exist in our community? How does white privilege impact race relations here? All of these things, these are the terms. This is the administration. The CIA report wasn't put out there, inadvertently. It was by design. We've got Department of Justice, Eric Holder, promoting racism and division in Ferguson, creating the situation that caused the riots and the looting. We've got Dianne Feinstein out there releasing a CIA report that's going to cost thousands of lives. We're fighting in America. We're fighting overseas. All this division, and everybody is too blind to see the big picture. All of this is interrelated. Stuff like this doesn't happen coincidentally. Would you agree with that?
I would, because I'm having observed politics here locally in the Louisville, Kentucky area, there's a relatively small number of people that are in charge of a large percentage of what happens here, both politically and otherwise, okay? And I suspect that there's the same type of cartel that deals with national issues as well. Remember, we've got over 300 million people in this country. I'd be shocked if there were more than 20,000 people that are kind of calling all the shots in this country. I'd be real shocked that there was more than that.
I totally agree with you at this point. I really, really do. You know, I've often thought many times, and I've told Dale the Truth that too. Dale the Truth, you know, a lot of people think he's a conspiracy nut job and things like that. And I've told him many times. I think a lot of his theories are nothing more than conspiracy theories. And he needed to kind of get out of the clouds. But you know what? It's hard to argue a lot with him these days. I mean, we look at this. When we talk about the Justice Department, what happened in Ferguson, a Justice Department spokeswoman told the National Review that it's not the role of community relations service officials to take a position on issues of race. So this was unusual. Robert Driscoll, the former Department of Justice Civil Rights Division Chief of Staff. This is one of the top dogs, right? He said that what the Department of Justice did in Ferguson is not standard procedure. That this was all entirely different than anything they've ever done. Why? Because they wanted to promote racism and create havoc. We have reports out of California from yesterday, Paul, if you can believe this. California, of course, they're always going to find a way to riot and scream about something. Ferguson wasn't there, but so they wanted to go out to the streets anyway. We now have reports, the internet is buzzing everywhere since yesterday morning, about undercover police being outed as part of the rioters and the looters. They were out there agitating the people, getting them to riot and to loot, and when they were caught, when they were recognized as being undercover police officers, then they actually had the balls to pull their gun out and start arresting people that they were helping riot and loot just a few minutes earlier. Police are out there infiltrating these groups and agitating intentionally. This is a designed situation to destroy America from within, folks. There is no other way to put it. We have been infiltrated by domestic terrorists. I call them Dianne Feinstein. I would go so far these days, thanks to the Department of Justice reports that we now know, to possibly include Eric Holder in that narrative, and maybe even up to and including President Obama. You can make of that what you want. But you don't release terrorists for an army deserter. You don't release the number two terrorist, you know, just because. You don't sit here and install undercover agents to start riots and looting so you can get the TV coverage. And you don't sit here and do the UN's bidding and then be treated like a second-class citizen. Paul, am I looking at this just way too hard? Am I off base?
Well, you're clearly not part of the ruling elite with talk like that. You're actually more with the folks out here who recently sent disturbingly clear message to the Republicans that they need to get in Washington and start cleaning the mess up. And right now, I don't have any faith that the Republicans are going to tackle the tough issues that this country faces. I don't see, and that right now I don't hear them deciding to start cleaning any of these messes up. I don't.
But well,
let's wait and see what January 1st has to offer, and let's see if anything changes. I doubt that it will, but let's see.
Well, it's interesting. Based on all of the recent events and everything going on, you know, it's interesting when you talk about the Republicans and what do they really think about race. Because Mitch McConnell, you know, is quoted by CNN as saying that race has definitely improved since President Obama was elected. Now, this is incredible to me because anybody and everybody with any ounce of common sense, every expert in the world has told us how bad race relations have gotten under this president. But yet we've got Mitch McConnell out there getting ready to take over as majority leader, saying that race relations in the U.S. have certainly got better, you know, since Obama was elected. He goes on to say that it's undeniable there's been remarkable progress for African Americans in this country. And then he goes on and says they've been elected senators and governors and they're running major corporations, but obviously we still have a long way to go. For one thing, I find it very, very wrong that, you know, he actually makes this distinction and comes off as a racist himself when he goes on to say that they've been elected senators and governors, they're running major corporations. You know, like the black people just aren't capable of doing all of that. You know, like here's a big deal. You know, so in some degree, McConnell actually makes race part of the equation as well. I just get very, very disturbed by all of this. But McConnell apparently is the only one in America who thinks that race relations have improved under Barack Obama. Barack Obama has done everything he can to create the racial angst, if you will. Him and Eric Holder. And they've been aided and abetted by the buffoons like communist, domestic terrorist, Democrat Dianne Feinstein. This is just incredible to me. But I tell you what's even more incredible. We're actually running out of time. Paul, I want to give you a chance to have some final comments. Go ahead, sir. Okay, it looks like Paul may be gone. Okay, well, we'll put him back in the queue, and I'll close the show, because quite frankly, folks, I'm getting disgusted. I really, really am. I'm getting tired. As a military veteran, anyone who has ever served in the military, you understand the enormous obligation and responsibility that's put on your shoulders from the day you enlist till the day you get out, and for the rest of your life, really. I have never forgotten my oath of office. I've never forgotten my oath as a military veteran to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I don't think that we can sit here and honest and truly say as Americans that we aren't under attack. But right now it doesn't appear that Iraq is the attacker. It doesn't appear that Afghanistan is the attacker. It doesn't appear the Middle East is the attacker. They're attacking us on their soil, which is what George Bush said he wanted, and I disagreed with that then, and I disagree with that now. But right now, America is attacking itself. We have congressional leaders, elected leaders, sitting out here and putting thousands of lives in mortal peril. I mean, this is extremely disturbing. Because as Jack Nicholson said on the clip I played for you earlier, you don't want to know what I have to do to keep you free. You don't want to know the secrets I've got. In short, we don't need to know what demons are inside of the people we're trusting to keep us free. I've never liked the embedded troops. That is something new that has happened since Iraq all began. We don't need embedded troops out there in harm's way. We don't need embedded troops showing the realities of war. You want to take pictures of the caskets when they come back? Go ahead. But we don't need 24-hour coverage of what goes on in war. War is hell. That's not just a saying, that's reality. War is hell, and anybody who served knows this. I was fortunate. When I was in, we got deployed twice, my unit. And both times, halfway to our destination, we were called back. But in those seconds, minutes, even hours, when you get the phone call, and you're at home with your wife and your little babies, and you're said, grab your gear, you got 20 minutes to report. And you're rushing out that door, and you don't know if it's going to be the last time you're ever going to see the people in your life that you love. That's a feeling I can never explain to anybody. And it also is a feeling that can never compare to those who have served, to those who have went into battle, to those lives lost, and to those who came back broken. I don't know enough to even fill a thimble of that, even though I'm a veteran. And to think that communist, domestic terrorist, Democrat, Senator Dianne Feinstein thinks that this is okay. To think that our president and our U.S. Attorney General, Department of Justice head Eric Holder thinks it's okay to force people and to mind control them into rioting and looting, and that's exactly what it was. To think that that's okay. To think that anybody in authority that is supposed to be police-oriented to protect and serve, even if you're military, that's part of the code, you know, to think that it's okay and they have no animosity infiltrating, you know, peaceful protesters and turning them into animals and thugs and scumbags who riot and loot just so they can create the havoc that this government wants them to create. They're under orders. But maybe it's time we started finding out who's putting out the orders, and maybe it's time we started questioning the orders. That's a scary thing when you're a veteran, because you know that you have to trust in the system and you have to trust in the orders. But folks, right now, over the last few years, it has become a disturbing trend to see just how untrustworthy this failed leadership is. That's it for tonight. Ken Molman, our good friend, will be here Sunday night at 7 o'clock, same time, same channel, of course. with his Liberty Unbridled show. I will return on Monday night with more good news for you, I'm sure. So, folks, in the meantime, enjoy your weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Take care.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.